that on? Yes, it is. Thank you. Yeah, you heard my voice from over there shouting things to Steve. It's good. I need to pray for patience, didn't I? All the things I've got wrong. Thanks, Steve, for being patient with all of that. We will see a photo next week of recent Dawna. Planning ahead for that Good Friday church service here and the hot cross buns afterwards, if someone would be willing to bring the hot cross buns, that would be marvellous. Please let me know if you're able to do that for us. We're on chapter 27 in Matthew, carrying on in our regular series for adults here. So children, you've been having a different Sunday school series, but thank you for stepping in. I hope that you'll be able to make sense as you join in to what we've been looking at in Matthew's account. Let me read. Verse 62. The next day, so this is the day after Jesus died, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep the Bible open. The practice here in Dagenham Parish Church is the teaching comes from the Bible. So we want the Bible open so you can check that that's where I'm getting it from. What's happening here, so the children can catch up, and maybe anyone who's joining us after for a first week. This is after Jesus was killed on a cross by his enemies. His friend named Joseph had put his body in a tomb. That's a small room cut out of rock, like a small cave. And then they rolled a stone in front of it. It was sort of like a big coin shape, a wheel shape. They rolled it in front and then left it there to block off the front like a door. And the women who followed Jesus, they had been at a distance, but they'd seen what had happened, so they knew where the tomb was. Now, the first part today is about the religious leaders, the enemies of Jesus. They're the ones who'd asked that he would be killed. I'll put them over here. They have a concern. They go to the leader, Pilate, and what do they call Jesus when they go to speak to Pilate? What do they call him? A deceiver. Yeah. So a deceiver is someone who tricks people to believe lies. So they are saying Jesus is a deceiver. They are saying Jesus is a liar. They've heard a promise of Jesus they think is a lie. What is the promise they've heard? Yeah, but he said that he will rise again on the third day. So if you've lost where that was, it's in verse 63. Sir, they said, the religious leaders, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. They don't believe that promise. They think it's a deception. It's a lie. And they say Jesus' followers will be deceivers like Jesus. You see, that's what they say they think their plan will be. Verse 64, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. They're going to be liars too. He deceived the people by saying he was a king. They will deceive the people by saying Jesus has come alive. And at the end of verse 64, it says, this last deception will be worse than the first. The first was when he said he was the king. The last would be when they said he'd been risen from the dead. Can we have the slide there, Mark? He has been raised from the dead. That's what they think the disciples are going to say. So they've got a plan. They say to the Roman ruler, can we make sure the disciples are not able to do that? We must make sure that the body stays in the tomb. And he says, okay, you go and do that. And they do two things, don't they? What are the two things they do to make sure that the disciples can't take the body? Seal the tomb and put a guard there. So put a seal. A seal is like a sticker. I've got some blank stickers here. I'm going to seal this. here we go. Stick on the right side. There you go. So there's a sticker. Part of it's on the stone image, and part of it's on the board. And we get stickers like that. If you buy an expensive product from a shop, there'll be a sticker on the packet, won't it? And if that sticker's been torn, that tells you that someone's opened that packet, and maybe you don't want to buy it from the shop, or you want to pay a lower price because the seal has been broken. This seal there, on this stone, was to say, look, if anyone opens this, we'll know about it, and you'll be in trouble with us if you do that. And then the second thing they did, yes, was to post a guard. That means put a guard in front. So if I try moving this, you see, if I move this stone back, it would tear the seal, and that would be obvious. They wanted it to be secure. They wanted to stop anyone getting in. They didn't want this lie that they thought was going to happen to come about. Did their plan work? No, not at all. Because who comes down to visit? An angel. Where did the angel come from? Yeah, an angel from heaven. Now, I didn't have any pictures of angels, because what did it say this angel looked like? Yes, as bright as lightning. So I don't have any pictures at home that are as bright as lightning. So I've got this that I thought made a good version of what the angel does. Crash, here comes the angel. And the angel brings an earthquake, and he tosses the stone out of the way. This rock that was a thing to make everyone think Jesus has lost, he just moves it out of the way. And then what does he do with it? He sits on it. Yeah, it was a comfortable seat for me. Yeah, he's not scared of breaking the seal. The stone is not a danger for him. What happens to the guards, the frightening guards who are there to stop anyone? Yeah, they tremble with fear and fall down like they're dead men. Remember, what was their job? Their job was to keep a dead man inside the cave. And now they become like dead men. The stone is rolled back, the seal is broken, and the soldiers are made helpless. Now, this is not also that Jesus can get out. Jesus didn't need that help. It was so that the women who were coming could get in. Now, they couldn't get past all of that. Jesus didn't need any of that. We know from other parts that the new body he had meant he could just get out from that place. They knew the place where the body had been put, because remember, they had been standing at a distance. They had watched when the body had been put in. So they came back, they knew the place where it was, And the angel says, have a look. Which verse is that? Yeah, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not, verse 6, he's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place, come and see the place where he lay. So come and have a look. And when they look, he's not in there. Jesus was crucified, he had been killed on a cross, but he's not dead anymore. Jesus, and Jesus had said he'd do that, says verse 6, he's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Jesus had said he would rise from the dead, and it's always done. And we've sung about that. Mark, could we have the slides from, I'm not going to get you to sing it again, but he promised that 3 days after death, he'd rise again. And he did, and he did, and he did. That's what we sang. He's kept his promise. He's not a deceiver. That means, doesn't it? Because deceivers are people who say things that are lies, or they make promises they don't keep. He's made that promise, and he's kept that promise. Now, the enemies thought the disciples were going to go to the tomb, and they were going to steal the body and go and hide it somewhere and say that Jesus is alive. And then what did they say that those disciples would go around telling people? What did they say the disciples would tell people? This was the enemy's expectation. He's risen from the dead. That's what they thought they'd say. Who is it who actually says it? First of all, the angel, the messenger from heaven, the person who comes down and makes this big crash. Where they say that, don't they, in verse 6. He's not here, he has risen. And then in verse 7, the angel says, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. Yeah, so it's an angel from heaven saying this. It's not a lie made up by his followers. So the women hurried away from the tomb, verse 8, afraid, yet filled with joy, ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them, and Jesus said, greetings, he said. They came and worshipped him, clasped his feet, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then he gives them the same job as the angel has said, go and tell the others to come and meet me. Now, Matthew goes back to the enemies. So I have to read the next bit of the story. What's going to happen with those enemies? They'd made that plan. They'd put the seal on the stone. They'd put the guard there. It's all gone wrong. Let's read the next few verses. Verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised the plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you're to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. You might be thinking, that's not a very good story. But we'll think about that in a minute. If this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they're instructed, and this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Now, what's wrong with the story they make up? So the chief priests, they make up this story to give to the guards. Why is that a bad story for those guards to tell? Yeah, well, there's a deception in it. Yeah, we'll come to that. That's the end of what I'm teaching there. You've got ahead of me. But why is this a rubbish story? Well, what are the guards admitting? Yeah, first thing, if they're asleep, how did they know the people came and took the body? That's a difficult bit of the story to make sense. And remember, what was their job? They were there to guard the tomb. So they saying, actually, we were asleep. And so when we were guarding the tomb to stop people taking the body, we were asleep and they came and did what we were supposed to stop them doing. That's a pretty bad story for the guards to tell. And then they admit, yeah, that we didn't do our job. How could they actually know that if they'd been asleep? That was Karen's point. And then Bet's point: it's a lie. Remember, to begin with, they believed the lie about Jesus. The rulers, they believed the lie that Jesus can't be trusted. And so they said that Jesus and his followers are deceivers. At the end of the story, who's the one telling lies? It's the enemies. And we always need to remember, who's the father of lies? Satan. Yeah, so these people who are against Jesus at the beginning and the end of this story, they are doing the sort of thing that Satan does, lying. They said that Jesus was a liar, but we see here they're lying. But, well, who do we trust? How can we tell? Well, that leaves us with a choice, doesn't it? We know that the world today is full of fake news. I'll get rid of these big pictures. Full of fake news, so we're not sure who we can trust. Why do we trust Jesus rather than the others? Well, one thing that comes out from the way Mark has talked about Jesus is he said he would come alive again. He said this. He said, I'll be rise from the dead. And then he did it. Another thing that makes me want to trust Jesus is that he, in the first place, he died for my benefit. He died for your benefit. That's a reason to trust him rather than to listen to the others. That's your choice. And that's my choice today. Will we trust Jesus? Or will we think, no, Jesus and those who follow him are liars and something else is better? If you're not sure, keep thinking. If you're not a believer, do take one of these booklets. Reese and Dawn had these yesterday at their wedding. There's a few left over. Anyone's free to take, but particularly if you're not a believer yet in Jesus, this is a great way to start thinking about the message of him. Sorry, Margaret? Yeah, so Jesus, Margaret's saying that when Jesus met the disciples later, one of the stories shows us that he showed the marks in his hands and his feet to say, look, it's me. I'm the one who was crucified. I'm alive again. But there are still lies that go around about that. It says at the end here, the lie that Jesus' body was stolen had been circulated right until Matthew wrote this book. And there are lies today. One of the lies is that Jesus never died in the first place. And it was just a deception to say he'd come alive. Another lie is the idea that... where is it? I've lost it. I wrote them. I've got lost. Oh, yes. Or that his followers pretended that they'd seen him. I guess that's similar to what we've got here, isn't it? Yeah. People will tell us that the Bible is a lie. We need to think, well, do I trust it? We need to be keeping reading the Bible and thinking, does it make sense? Do I think Jesus is a liar? Or do I think those who are resisting him are not telling the truth? In the Bible, God says Jesus has won. He has been raised from the dead. Can we have the next slide, Mark? We're going to sing in a minute. Risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory. Thou, O death, hast won. So if we're those who decide that we accept the message that Jesus rose from the dead, we will make him our king. It's a big thing to accept. We need to think about it carefully. But that's the message of the Bible, that Jesus has risen from the dead and we should accept him as our king. The thing that Jesus and the angel both said to the women, so it's at verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. And verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them, in verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. I don't know when you get afraid. One of the times that many of us get afraid is at night time. Not just children being scared of the dark, but when we're adults, that's when our fears come, don't they? And it's hard to chase away our fears in the darkness. Can we have the slide, Mark? We've sang that this morning. Though the dread of night overwhelms my soul, he is here with me. I'm not alone. That's the Christian faith. When we're struggling to sleep at night because of our fears, And many of us know that. This is what the Bible is pointing us to put our trust in Jesus, the one who is risen from the dead. Well, you and I, we need to make our decision. Do we accept this message that Jesus is risen from the dead? If we do, he should be our king. He is the answer to our fears. And finally, like the women, we need to go and tell other people. That's what the angel said to the women. That's what Jesus said. Go and tell other people. It's such an important thing. We need to tell others. Do ask me if you've got any questions about this episode from Matthew. It's a very important part of our understanding of God and about our lives that we recognize that Jesus was raised from the dead. Let's pray now. Jesus was crucified, but he's no longer in the tomb. He has been raised from the dead. And yet the enemies, we know, Lord, sought to be deceivers and still try to deceive. Almighty God in heaven, we pray, please, that each of us would be confident that this message about Jesus rising from the dead is a true story and not a lie. That we would be able to trust in him, to see that he is the great king who was stronger than death, that he is the one who can deal with our greatest fears because he's stronger than death. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.